You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I am excited about today's episode. I say that every week, but this podcast really is exciting to me. Every time I get an opportunity to get on a microphone, doing this for 8 years now, the fact that I'm still so excited to get on a microphone feels good. And I feel honored and grateful for what the Lord has called us to do in this space. And I am excited about today's episode because y'all know I don't do interviews often. I don't think that we've had one this year at all yet. And did we have one last year? I don't even remember. So it's been a minute since we've had a guest on the show. And so I am very excited to have one of our faves back on the show, Pastor Tiffany. Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. I'm so happy to be back. It's been too long.
It's been a long time. I had checked before we got on here, and the last time Tiffany was on the show was in 2020. Yeah. So we got a lot to catch up on. The reason why I wanted to have you back on the show is because we, over the last year or so, have been doing a series called the Bible on Business series, and the Lord had given me a revelation about how so many of His people, especially now in this wave of Christian entrepreneurship, everybody has a solution for everything. There are so many worldly things with Christ sprinkled on top of it. And He really wanted His people to understand that everything that we need is in His word, including business. And so we've explored things from marketing strategies to financial strategies to operations, everything directly from the text. And a common thing based off of hearing back from the audience and things that even the Lord has brought up to me is that something that His people really struggle with is dependency. Being able to be comfortable. I won't even say comfortable because I don't think you ever get comfortable, but being able to be content with just depending on the Lord, His direction, even when you don't understand, and being willing to just wait and see how it works out is something that is not discussed enough. And it's a skill that not many believers, I believe, have really exercised as it relates to their spiritual muscles. And so, of course, I thought about you because in thinking about your journey since 2020, which is so crazy that it's been that long because I didn't even realize that until today. Your journey to me is exactly what we've been discussing on the show. So I want to have a candid conversation with you and kind of catch up. And I'm going to be, you said you had your tissue. So I'm going to be asking some questions and really poking at your story to pull out of you some nuanced things that I believe our audience can really benefit from. So let's start with, for those who don't know you, tell us who you are, what you do, and we'll go from there. And also, and tell us what you've been up to since 2020 as well.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with what I do. What I've been up to since 2020 has been a lot. A lot has happened, I think, for everyone in the past 5 years. But again, to just kind of start at the beginning, my name is Pastor Tiffany Soa. And the last time I was here, my name was just Tiffany Gillespie. I don't even think that I was yet licensed in ministry. I didn't get licensed until December of 2020. And I'm pretty sure that we like met before December. So I was literally a totally different person in terms of just living out my Christ identity and professionally in ministry, like everything was different. But now you can call me Pastor Tiffany Soa. And I am the founder of Mornings with God Ministry. I founded that ministry in 2015. 2015. So it's been just about or just a little over 10 years since the ministry was founded. I now have the privilege of co-leading that ministry with my husband. But again, the last time I was on here, I did not have a husband. I was very, very single in 2020. I think I was in a committed relationship, like a committed relationship, but yeah, I was very single. Yeah, I also lead a business. Now I lead multiple businesses, but my primary business is T3 Diversity Solutions, which is a management consulting firm. So we help businesses to start, grow, and scale sustainably. When I was with you all in 2020, we were at the height of what would be our most profitable years, right? So that was a whole chapter of my life. And again, not too long after I was last with you all, everything began to change rapidly for the better. But rapid acceleration and having, you know, supernatural this and suddenly that and speed on this. It sounds good in theory until you are literally living out Amos, where your head is like spinning and you're trying to keep up with everything that is going on. So that's who I am. I am bivocational, a business owner helping other businesses to be successful, and then leading ministry as the main thing now. Again, when I was last with you all, ministry was not the main thing. I don't even know if I was super active. I think we were still doing like our weekly broadcast, but outside of that, like nothing compared to what we have today. And yeah, that's where I was over the past 5 years since 2020. Like I said, I got licensed in ministry. I relocated to North Carolina. So I was living in just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So basically in Philly, literally I could walk across the lines. So I live very, very close to Philly. So I was living just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I was a homeowner, property investor, and was just trying to figure out, I was at a space where I knew that there was more that God had for me. And for as hard as I was working, I knew that there had to be more that was like available to me, more reward on this side of heaven for all of the work and things that I was doing. So that was 2020. Like I said, I got licensed. 2021, the Lord called me to move kind of suddenly. Now, the Lord had told me in June of 2020 that I was going to relocate. But he didn't really give me much more than that. He guided some of my research, and I landed at a toss-up between Texas and North Carolina, and ultimately kind of landed on North Carolina because it was still on the East Coast and closer to my, you know, family and things of that nature. So I landed, you know, made that decision. I went in October of 2020. All of this was happening in the background. I'm pretty sure that I didn't mention any of this when we last met. And the reason why was because I had to guard that sacred space with the Lord. And I think that's probably a lesson in terms of being fully dependent on God, is having the wisdom to know when to speak and what to speak. So all of this was going on in the background. I went for two visits to North Carolina between the time that the Lord told me that I was moving and I actually moved. And after that second visit, I moved within 30 days. So this was the first of many uprootings that the Lord had done in my life. We being me and the Lord, had journeyed through quite a few transitions in terms of like living. But I had been in Philadelphia for almost 15 years. Literally every minute of my adulthood had been spent in Philly. I you know, matured there. I grew there spiritually. I built all of my businesses there. In 2020, I owned and was operating multiple businesses. Like I was doing my thing. I was rocking and rolling in 2020 and just really living, you know, my life and even into, you know, 2021 and all of that. So when the Lord called me to move, it was truly an elevation. I had been asking the Lord for a better quality of life and a better lifestyle. Because I was working really hard. I was making pretty good money, but I wasn't really seeing the fruit of it because, quite frankly, the cost of living is much higher in Pennsylvania than it is in North Carolina. So moved to North Carolina in May of 2021. And being in North Carolina was actually a bit more isolating than I think I had expected it to be in comparison to my life in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, I was, again, I had built a career and a life with the Lord in Pennsylvania, but I was kind of like relearning everything, trying to understand like the business landscape. And now looking back, I know that the Lord really had me to ease into slowing down in business and ramping up in ministry to prepare my heart for what his ultimate instruction, you know, was going to be. So it was kind of it was a little bit isolating. I didn't have like as many friends and things as I had in Pennsylvania. I was also still running back and forth to Pennsylvania and to Maryland. The Lord convicted me about that, and just told me like, you know, I asked you if this was what you wanted, and he did. The Lord asked me like I heard the Lord ask me, like, are you sure this is what you want? And I said, yes. And the Lord is like, you know, if this new life is what you want, you have to be fully present in it. So, did that. And I was there for about a year, maybe a little less than a year, before I, you know, met someone. That person ended up asking for my hand in marriage, asked my mom, never quite got to my dad, but asked my mom. And in 2022, February, March of 2022, that engagement, if you will, ended very, very traumatically, like very traumatically. Top two worst relational experiences that I've experienced in my life. And it left me in a really broken place. And again, while I did have support, I could count on one hand at that time how many true friends I had in North Carolina, like who knew what was going on. And I mean, on one hand, probably not using my thumb. And yeah, so I journeyed through that, you know, went through that healing process, all of the things. And in May of 2022, took a spontaneous trip with one of our mutual friends to Ghana, to Accra, Ghana, for a vacation. Ended up meeting this guy through a mutual friend of like the group. It was a co-ed group. So through a mutual friend of the group, and that guy is now my husband. So now, you know, all of these years later, I am living in Ghana full time, doing life with my husband. I gave up everything in the United States, everything, and we can dig into that some more. Gave up everything to follow the Lord. I gave up a multi six-figure business that was doing very, very well. I was living a really, really good life and a blessed life. I was just telling someone the other day, like I was literally making more money than what I needed, and the Lord was using me to be a blessing to people. That's an important note because when things started going in the opposite direction, one of the hardest things for me to cope with was that I was not able to give in the capacity that I had worked so hard with the Lord to be able to give. So, yeah, you know, 2022, I met my husband. We got married 9 months after we met. And about 9 months after that, I moved to Ghana for our first try. Had to go back to the States and kind of reset a bit. And then I'm now back and like, you know, we're locked in, we're rocking and rolling. I can see the hand of the Lord, the favor of God, all of those things. So I'll stop there because I'm sure there's probably some things that we could dig into more. But yeah, this is where I am. And this is what's happening in my life after 5 years.
I'm glad that you started there and brought us into today, because I know the audience is listening like, hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah. It was wait crazy. It was a wild. It's been a wild ride.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding somebody willing to take the job. I need the right person with the right background who can move our business forward. If I wanted candidates who match what I'm looking for, I trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results that you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people that you want faster. And it makes a big difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored job posts directly on Indeed are 90% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs. Because you reach a bigger pool of quality candidates. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Y'all know I have a lot on my plate, and if I needed to hire an assistant, Indeed is exactly where I will go. And I will go and be very specific. I need someone who is tech savvy, who knows how to assist someone who has multiple brands, somebody who was forward-thinking, a problem solver, and who has done this for at least 5 years. And here's the thing with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. I get people who fit that description. I'm not digging through resumes from people who don't understand the ins and outs of an online business with moving parts. That's what makes the difference. You get people who actually are what you're looking for. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job to the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
But that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because there's so much that I want to discuss. Like, I want to discuss the business side. I want to discuss ministry, and I want to discuss marriage, because a lot of people, when they write into the show, they ask about looking for their spouse or wanting to be married and waiting and all of these different things. And, you know, I usually don't talk about those type of things. I try to, you know, keep that. That's just one of my things that I like to keep guarded. But I love to have other people on the show so that we can have those conversations and women can be able to really glean from that. But before we get there, I want to go back to you and Philly, because you talked about how you had this successful business. You had your properties. You were doing all of these things. You were in a place where you were really at the peak of business. And you said, I want something else. I want something more. What did you mean by more? I know you mentioned, you know, just wanted to slow down some, wanted to increase, just decrease the cost of living and all of that.
Yeah.
But what else was the more that you were experiencing that you were seeking God for when on the outside, everything looked like it was what it was supposed to be?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest pieces was that I wanted to be able to be more of a blessing to people. Like I said, I was doing well. And interestingly, we were in a really good space in 2020 because I had just entered into government, corporate, and university contracting. And, you know, we were doing good with that. We were in our early years. COVID year was actually, again, one of the most profitable years of business. But because I had spent so many years really kind of living like paycheck to paycheck almost, there was a lot that I wanted to do financially, and financial freedom that I was seeking from the Lord, that it had really gotten to the point where I was like, God, there has to be more to life than just working to survive. I want to know what it it is to thrive. I want to know what it is to really be a blessing, you know, to your people financially. One of the things I'm very clear about is the Lord has called me to be a kingdom financier. And I wanted to, you know, experience that and be a blessing to people. I also wanted to be in a different environment because, you know, I was born in Kentucky. I moved to Baltimore, Maryland when I was 9, right before my 10th birthday. I moved to Baltimore, Maryland. So I grew up literally like through my adolescence and also maturing as an adult in the Northeast. Anybody that's familiar with the Northeastern part of the United States, Lord Jesus, and I lived in major cities, right? You have to be a certain type of person, you know, and have a certain type of way about you to really survive because it's a dog eat dog world.
Yeah.
And like I said, I grew up in the inner cities. I lived in the inner cities. When I lived in Philly, I won't say that I lived in the worst parts of Philly, but I mean, Philadelphia is an experience in itself. So I wanted a softer version of myself. I wanted to relax. I wanted to let my guard down a bit. I wanted to, just be more of who I knew the Lord created and called me to be. I wanted to step more into my femininity, just all of those things, right? All of those things play a factor. So there was a different version of myself that I was seeking and a different way that I wanted to utilize the resources that God had blessed me with. I wanted more peace. Like I said, a different quality of life. So I was looking for quiet. I was looking for something that was a little bit slower. I was looking for a place where my money could go further. I wanted to live in a certain type of home and just experience different things. I wanted to have a certain type of car, like all of those things. And I'm mentioning these things. And I know that for some people, they may say, well, it sounds like a bunch of material things. I think that we do ourselves a disservice by lying to ourselves because we're not lying to the Lord, but by lying to ourselves about those material things that make up our quality of life, right? I wanted to be able to afford healthcare. I wanted to be able to afford to eat well. I wanted to be able to afford to have a gym membership and actually be able to keep it to get, you know, just these different things when you understand like, you know, like socioeconomic things and all of that. There's a lot that goes into it. And I wanted to be able to experience that for the amount of work that I was putting in to, you know, to build what the Lord had told me to build. So it was spiritual and natural.
I love that because usually I hear women get to that spot of wanting to live a more quiet, softer life. It's usually parallel to relationships. And I love that you came to that point as an individual without the catalyst of a relationship to say, I want to be a different type of person. This is what I've been conditioned to be, who I've been conditioned to be. However, I'm choosing as an adult to do things differently, to be more how the Lord intended me to be before life influenced. So how did you take that to the Lord? And then what was the process after that to start to become this new version of yourself?
Yeah. So I was very honest and transparent. And I think, you know, one of the things that I always say is that I appreciate the fact that I grew up in Maryland and in Pennsylvania, in Baltimore and in Philly. I really do, because it really gave me such a boldness and such a fire that is, it's really honestly, that is my identity in Christ. Like he made me a fiery, passionate individual. And like you said, life comes and distorts all of that. It perverts that, misuses, mishandles, unleashes that in ways that are oftentimes not healthy. That's what the world will do to our identity. So the Lord made me fiery and passionate. So I had like this fire and this passion passion and this boldness in the natural, but it's also who I was in the spirit. And one of the things that I have just learned through journeying with the Lord, and something that I had actually told the Lord like on my 29th birthday, I told the Lord that I wanted that next year of my life, that 29th year of my life, that my goal for that year was to be more honest with myself and with to be more honest with God and with others so that I could be more honest with myself. That there were a lot of things that I had learned or had become accustomed to settling for, accepting, tolerating, all of those things. So this like bold conversation and like this boldness with the Lord was something that he started cultivating, I would say like in my late 20s, as I began to heal. Right. As I began to go to therapy, as I grew spiritually, as I was under leadership, spiritual leadership that spoke this kind of language that talked about, you know, healing, Jesus plus therapy, accountability, personal responsibility, you know, for your life and things of that nature. So the conversation with God really stemmed from what he had been cultivating in me. And I literally, you know, what I had a conversation with the Lord about is like, I know that you're calling me to be a kingdom financier. It is nearly impossible for me to finance the kingdom in the way that I know you're calling me to do if I'm struggling financially. So also what happened, right, was that the Lord began to work on me concerning stewardship, right? So that was another one of those things that was happening in the background in my late 20s into my early 30s, was that the Lord was like, okay, if you know that I've called you to this, everything in your life has to line up and everything in your discipline and in the way you live has to line up with that. So I went to the Lord boldly. Like we have this saying in the Mornings with God ministry, there's a scripture that tells us, you know, that we should approach the throne of grace, you know, humbly, but boldly. And I always say, like, we should be hop, skipping and jumping to the throne of grace, right? To receive help in the time of need. Like we should be hop, skipping and jumping to spend time at the feet of the Lord with our petitions and our requests, because the invitation is open to do so, right? To come boldly, to come confidently, not in your own being, but in the God that you serve and in his power and ability, and to make your requests known to the only one who can really, really help you. So when I was going to God, and again, I'm looking around, there was a shooting like where I was living next door. The property owners didn't really care about like who they brought in to rent there. I remember that one day I'm sitting on the couch and the people next door had been fighting all day, arguing all day. I had just sat down to eat and I was watching, I think an election or something. I think it was election night or something of 2020. That would make sense. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting down watching like election results and I'm praying and I literally heard the Holy Spirit say, move, right? So I get up and move from where I'm sitting. And the next thing I know, shots ring out. It's like, Like, and granted, I mean, I grew up in Baltimore and in Philly. So hearing gunshots was like not a foreign thing, but I had moved out of the city of Philly. That's number one. And then also like I was a homeowner. Like, it's not like I can just get up and leave and like all of these things. My neighbors had like damaged my car by sliding like their grocery bags across it. This was a car, my first brand new car straight off the lot, like a car I prayed for, worked for, waited for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm going to the Lord, I'm like, there has to be more to this life that you are building for me than mm-hmm. to be having to call the police on my neighbors, worrying if somebody going to shoot through my, like all that type of stuff. So there was a boldness and a fire. I wasn't afraid to ask the Lord for a better quality of life and a better lifestyle because I know that the Lord has abundance. I know who my Father is. I know that, you know, that he is King of all kings and that anything that we could possibly want, need, or ask that we can ask him for it and he has plenty of it available. So mm-hmm. that's how that happened.
I don't know if we covered this on the previous episode, but even if we did, I want to cover it again. How did you go about building up that relationship with the Lord? Where you could transfer that boldness into your relationship with Him? Did you grow up in church? I don't know if we talked about this.
Yeah. So yeah, I did. I grew up in church. I come from a long line of ministers of the gospel, all different types of titles on both sides of my family. I recently did a post on social media talking about my mom's side of the family and just our long heritage. There's a particular town in Kentucky that we come from. My great-grandfather was the senior pastor there for nearly two decades. And it's so interesting because one of the things I always think about is that during his time as pastor, he helped the ministry to be restored financially, right? Mm-hmm. So when we think about like generational blessings and like calling on our lives and all of those types of things, it's in me. It's in my DNA. So yes, I grew up in church. I still attend the same churches. When I go home to Kentucky, I go to the same church. When I go to Maryland, I go to the same church. My former church in Philly is closed now, but I have a stable church, right, that I go to. So like I'm a church girl. I'm a Jesus girl. I love the church. So yes, I grew up in church, grew up seeing ministry alongside of a lot of other things. And in 2011 is when I first started building personal relationship with the Lord. I was attending Catalyst Church in Philadelphia. At the time, it was called Catalyst for Change, but Catalyst Church under Pastor Keon Jerome. And that's where I came into relationship with Jesus. That's where I learned, how to be an intercessor. It was my training ground. The pastor and the preacher that I am today, it was cultivated there. Like, yes, it's in my DNA. If you meet my paternal grandmother, my dad's mom, she still journeys very closely with me in ministry, is a trusted advisor. She's a former pastor herself and just all of those things. So like, yes, it's in me, but it was also cultivated and nurtured in my church in Philly. So I did grow up in church. I grew up around ministry, but I learned how to have relationship with the Lord. I went through a lot, right? When you go through a lot of ups and downs and, when you deal with the consequences of your own disobedience, plus the things that life is just going to throw your way, you start to have an understanding of the Lord. Again, I was taking Bible classes. Like I was being trained. Catalyst was my training ground. Mm-hmm. So I'm learning all of these things and understanding what relationship with the Lord looks like what it really looks like. Mm-hmm. And all of this was happening in West Philadelphia. So again, like this boldness, like, I mean, I was raised up in urban ministry. Okay. So like this boldness and this fire, it was all throughout the DNA of the ministry. And just also the neighborhood that we were in, the people that we encountered on a daily basis. So I had no fear, about pushing the limits with the Lord. And what I mean by that is I have seen, over the years, I have realized how small played with the Lord and how little we actually ask of the Lord or even expect of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just at a space, and again, maybe it's because of all of the things that I've been through in my life's journey, I'm just at a space where I fully believe and expect the Lord to do certain things. And when it is anything beneath what the Lord has promised, shown me before, spoken to me, that I've read in His word, all of those things. If it's anything beneath any of that, it's not enough. It's just not. Because I know my able, abundant, capable God intimately.
As Black women, we have the cards stacked against us, but we know that God will never give us more than we can handle. That's exactly what Akambi Ashiata experienced. Akambi grew up in Lagos, Nigeria. Her father died before she was born, leaving her mother to raise six children alone in a one-room home. Food was scarce, and Akambi often went to bed hungry. Now, at 27 years old, Akambi continues her family's tradition of farming tomatoes. Getting the money to grow her business was a challenge, but Akambi never gave up. Then, Heifer International stepped in. Heifer International is a global nonprofit that empowers women farmers and business owners. Through Heifer's Microloan Impact Fund, Akambi can access a fair loan for the first time, instead of the 50% interest rates from loan sharks. She used her microloan to expand her tomato business and support her family. In her words, "It feels like a blessing, a miracle, to have enough to provide for my family and dream of a future filled with abundance. It's beyond anything I could have ever imagined." Be the blessing for a woman like Akambi. Fund a loan today at heifer.org/blessed.
I want to go back briefly about relationship. And you talked about how in 2011 at Catalyst Church was where you really, that relationship was built. What did that look like practically? Because I know we have people who are listening who are in that space where they're trying to take what they have witnessed by growing up in church, or they're trying to take something foreign that they don't even understand and translate that into a personal relationship with the Lord. What did that look like for you?
Yeah, I love that you said that it's foreign, because actually Catalyst, I forget what the model was like verbatim, but like we were a church for the unchurched, right? Mm-hmm. So the people get know all the formalities, the protocol, who to call, all of those things. That's who that ministry is for. And that's who we encountered, right? That's who the Lord, you know, told the pastor at the time to really, you know, cater to. So some of the practical things that I did, and I love telling this story because for me, ministry has been a perfecting journey. I will never be perfect. None of us will ever be perfect, but it has been a perfecting journey in that day by day, week by week, month over month, year over year, I've gotten better at this lifestyle of obedience, right? That I didn't even know the language lifestyle of obedience until like 2019. So it's funny when people are like, "Girl, you really trust the Lord and you're so dependent on the Lord." I'm like, "Yeah, child, go back to like pre-2019 when the Lord broke me down and was like, listen, we're going to do this one way or my way, right?" But at Catalyst and during that time, some of the things that were happening was one, that I had accountability, that there was a support system to an extent that was in place, meaning that I was humble enough, not super humble. I always say that my pastor at the time, Pastor Jerome, that he got probably some of the worst parts of me, right? And what I mean by that is that, you know, he got, again, young, rough around the edges, straight out of Baltimore. He's from Baltimore, too. So straight out of Baltimore, grew up in Philly, you know, matured in Philly, whatever. That was the version of Tiffany that he got and that, you know, the leaders at the time got. But there was a group of more seasoned individuals, more seasoned men and women who took me under their wing. You know, there was a lot of meetings in the pastor's office, but we all made it and we're all good. Everybody loves each other now. but I had that accountability and that support, and I was humble enough in the beginning to accept that love, that support, that accountability, that pruning, and all of that. The other thing that it looked like was starting with a daily prayer life, like just something small every single day. And from that is actually where the ministry Mornings with God was birthed, from being at Catalyst, right? And seeing what could happen if you just spent a couple of, you know, minutes a day, a few minutes a day with the Lord, right? Other things, practical things that were happening is that whenever Bible classes and different courses about various things were being offered. I still remember Minister Erica. I can't think of her last name. I think it's Harrison Clack, but Minister Erica, I still remember her Battlefield of the Mind class. And this was over a decade ago, right? So these very practical classes that the church was offering that I took advantage of. I was a hungry student. I was hungry for the Lord. I was desperate for the Lord, that there was a way in which my life had been going. I had just had my first abortion right before I went to Catalyst. And I was, when I came to Catalyst, I was very broken. I did not recognize the depth to which, because I didn't understand all the covenants and blood oaths and all of the things around abortion that I understand now. But I was really a mess. I was in a very desperate and hungry place. And very practically, I did the work, right? And I think that with a lot of things, especially in today's time, people don't want accountability. There are so many people that don't want to be pastored. They don't want to be told when they're wrong. They don't want to be pulled into the pastor's office. I stayed in my pastor's office. I stayed being corrected. I stayed being guided and rebuked in love, right? I stayed being mentored, but I accepted it. Again, very practically going to therapy, right? Getting the healing that I needed on that side as well. So I could keep going, but what the church offered, and it was where I was supposed to be at that time, and I was there for a decade, what the church made available to me, I took advantage of everything that was available to me, and I did the work.
What would you say to that hungry student today that is especially, you know, what my heart for like the Gen Z specifically generation. I feel like millennials, we grew up long enough without a lot of the digital stuff to where we handle it with the level of sobriety. Like, we understand that this is new, this is exciting, there's all these cool tech things going on, but we're not like naive, for lack of a better word. So for those who are growing up in this age where they, let's say they are hungry for the Lord, but they, the way in which they choose to feed themselves happens in this internet space versus a more controlled and concentrated safe space. Because what I'm hearing, that all of the things that you did, I hear that it happened within this safe environment of a church with accountability, with sound leadership and all of those things, which is how it should be, because we should be able to make those mistakes and get corrected and all of that. But now, because so many things happen in a digital space, and so many churches even. I know I live in the DC area where there are so many mega churches. There are so many franchise churches to where this church has 50 million locations. The pastor's only actually at one of them. And so there's this same, this environment is not really able to be cultivated because everything is trying to cater to this new aspect. And there's a place for that, but also, you know, we have to acknowledge the shortcomings as well. So what advice would you give someone who is trying to be fed, but operating primarily in the digital capacity?
I think that, you know, I have such a interesting perspective on this because I am leading a ministry that is completely online. We just did our first in-person event earlier this year for our 10-year anniversary. So with all of that said, as you were talking, I literally just wrote down, be careful, right? That the Lord instructs us to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to be alert, to be aware, right? To pray, but to watch. Those instructions and warnings are literally in the Bible from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. And I think that in today's age, where we are more consumer driven than we ever were, and I mean not just consumer of material things, but consumers of knowledge, information, consumers of the latest, hottest thing, of the hottest, most prominent voices, the biggest influence and audience, and all of those sorts of things, that where we are extremely, consumer driven, that we have got to be careful about what we are consuming, that we have to be willing to slow down, to silence all of the noise, to go back to a physical, tangible Bible. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a physical Bible with tabs and notes, right? I still have, talking about, you know, building that relationship with the Lord, I still have that Bible that where I was building that relationship, those beginning stages. It doesn't have a front cover or back cover, but it has tabs and notes and all of those things, right? Like, really getting in the word, a word that you can hold, that you can stand on, and a word that, you know, is not influenced by the latest trend, right? That this word that is written, this isn't influenced by the latest trend. It is what it is, right? So I think that we have to be careful. And for that individual, I would say that I would recommend getting in a space like, stop checking just their social media. Mm-hmm. Go and attend a couple services. See what's happening off of social media, right? Because this is how we found churches before this social media era really blew up. This is how we found ministers and voices from other, you know, human to human connection, right? So even in the digital space, even in the digital space, with giving a nod to that, don't just take the 90-second clip on social media. Go watch the whole sermon. Go and check and see if it aligns with the infallible word of the Lord. One of the things I tell the people that are connected to Mornings with God, go back and I want you to go back and check. I want you to go open an actual Bible and go read this same scripture for yourself and see if it actually says what I'm telling you it says. That's number one. And if it means what I'm saying that it means, right? Mm-hmm. So there is this, you know, we have a responsibility for due diligence to slow it down a little bit. This spiritual thing, this relationship and journey with the Lord, this is worth the diligence that it takes. It's worth the time. It's worth the effort, the intention. It's worth the focus. It's worth you taking your time to discern. Give the Lord a chance to respond to you. Mm-hmm. Clear the noise so that you can hear the Lord whenever he's speaking in the first place, right? So I think that, you know, in this digital age, what I would tell people, again, even leading a ministry that is completely virtual, stop taking sound bites and clips and actually go and look. Go visit their website. What does their website say? What does their statement of faith say? Do they believe that we are pre-tribulation, post-tribulation? If you don't know what those two things are, you need to go look that up, right? Do they believe in God, Son, Holy Spirit? Do they believe in, you know, women ministers or preachers or whatever, right? Do they believe, is their theological underpinning, their theological stance, right? Does it align with the infallible word of the Lord? Does it align with this word in today's context, right? So I think that, you know, we got to slow it down and we have to be careful. It's worth the time that it takes to discern if a spiritual leader's voice is one that you should be listening to or not.
That is so good. I hope y'all are taking notes. Because, listen, we could be on here all day, but we ain't got all day. So make sure you're taking some notes because that was good. That was so good. I want to go to your transition to North Carolina. So the Lord answered you. You got the confirmation that North Carolina was the place. Now it's time to move. You mentioned that it was isolating. You didn't have as many friends there. You got what you asked for. Yeah, what was that like?
North Carolina was really good for me. It was very, very good. I would say, honestly, since leaving North Carolina, I have grieved that time a lot, a lot. One of the things that is not talked about a lot in, I would say, life, but particularly in transitioning from singleness to marriage, because at the time that I transitioned out of North Carolina, I was also transitioning out of singlehood. There was a lot of grief. There was a lot of grief because North Carolina was so good. It was so good. It was everything that I needed it to be. It was everything that I wanted it to be. I had community, right? I had a strong church community. I was serving in leadership, growing as a shepherd, you know, being corrected and still being guided and all of those things. It was, you know, I didn't have like a lot of close, intimate friends. I spent a lot of time by myself, but I was okay with that, right? I did things that were purposeful, that were meaningful, that were purpose-filled. And the time in North Carolina was everything that I needed. And though I didn't have this super huge friend group there, the friend group that I had was powerful. It was solid, right? It was weighty, if you will. You know, I didn't feel like, even though that was probably one piece that, you know, maybe didn't go the way that I thought that it would, or that I had kind of, you know, was accustomed to, I would say that everything else was really, really it was really, really good. So the transition to North Carolina was very easy. Everything that I needed was provided in abundance. You know, I moved there. It was a little uncomfortable in the beginning. I forgot about this. I forget about it all the time because now it's such a blip on the radar. When I first moved, I actually moved without seeing. Did I see that apartment in person? I can't remember. But I moved. Like I said, I had to move fairly quickly. The Lord moved me in like 30 days. So moved fairly quickly. The first apartment that I moved into that I thought was like the dream apartment ended up not working out. It was like a bunch of issues with the neighbors and stuff like that. So they moved me even better. The Lord upgraded me to a top floor corner unit over the skyline with like everything was beautiful, man. North Carolina was a time. It was a vibe. It was everything. Like I truly, truly loved living there. And it was, you know, with the exception of things that happened, yes, I experienced tremendous heartbreak. It wasn't, you know, as easy of a transition or as soft of a landing as I had initially hoped. I had to relocate, you know, to another place, navigated a lot of like weird friend things. Like I said, just realizing that a lot of friendships were based on proximity and not on anything that was like bigger than proximity. So there were some lessons, some hard times. Toward the end of my time there, it became very, very challenging financially because my business lost its largest contract and I was traveling back and forth to Ghana by that point. So it, you know, it became a challenge, but it was blessed. I became a foster parent in North Carolina. I was able to foster there. So many things, man, like North Carolina, 10 out of 10, highly recommend. Like it was what I asked the Lord for and everything that I had hoped that it would be, even with the bumps and bruises along the way.
How did business change when you moved?
Oh. So business was really good at first. So I moved in 2021. We were still in COVID time. So there was still like a lot of COVID. So I entered into government, corporate, and university contracting in 2019. So by the time I moved, I was pretty, you know, settled in that arena. Still had some private clients, but I was primarily focused on my government clients. I mean, we were consulting in 2021. We were probably consulting maybe around 75 businesses a month that we were working with. So I was, you know, booked and busy. And again, you know, things were going really well. 2022 was a good year as well, a little bit less than 21 and 20, but it was still, you know, a pretty good year. And then I would say the only thing is that I did not do as much like client acquisition. I didn't feel the Lord impressing upon me to do like a bunch of networking. So that was another piece of it that was like isolating a little bit, because in Philly, I was outside, right? Like, I mean, I was at all the events, getting all the awards. I mean, you know, whoever and wherever I needed to be, that's where I was. So it was a totally different business scene there. more hustle mentality and culture. North Carolina is a little bit slower, more laid back. It was hard to figure out the who's who, but I was able to figure out some things and make some headway, some good connections and relationships that I still maintain to this day, but nothing compared to like Philadelphia. But again, it was cool, right? Because I still had retainer clients and contracts and things of that nature. But I would say like year over year, it did diminish, you know, a little bit by little bit. And then in 2023, it was like the Lord just pulled a thread and everything unraveled. It was horrendous. I don't have another word for it. There's no other way for me to describe it. It felt like the minute that me and my husband felt like comfortable and things that the Lord was like, let me get that back. Let me shake this up a little bit. And I have some things that I want to do in and through you all. It's not going to feel good. It's not going to be comfortable. But, you know, we were coming out on the other side of it. But it was 2023 when we lost that largest contract. And into 2024, it was terrible. I don't have another word to describe it.
All right, y'all, we're going to put a pin in this conversation right here for part one. I pray that this episode has challenged you to look at your own walk with God, your obedience, your dependency, and even the spaces where He may be inviting you into more than what you've been settling for. In part two, we're going to go even deeper. Tiffany's going to share what happened when everything in her business started to unravel, what a true manna season looks like for her, and how God used all of that to expand her ministry. And birth, what we're going to talk about in part two. You don't want to miss it. So make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast so that you get your next episode as soon as it drops. And check out the show notes to register for the end of the year prayer-thon. And of course, to connect with Tiffany. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.